The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. The speaker is Doug Cooper. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
Our word from the Bible today is taken from Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 27. Which I believe is the whole thing. All right. I just got correct. I just got a confirmation it's the whole thing. And listen to the word of the Lord for today. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown.
Hear, my son, accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you into the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and you will run. You will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go into on it. Turn away for it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless you have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless you have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like the deep darkness. They do not know over what they have stumbled. They do not know over what they stumble.
My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and let your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, turn your foot away from evil. The word of the Lord for today.
Thanks again, you two. This is our fifth message in our series in Proverbs, and in this passage that Mark and Betsy just read for us, we received a whole bunch of directives. I think that's pretty obvious. Nothing new. We've been encountering a steady stream of directives as we've been coming into the book of Proverbs. Lots of do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do that. In fact, you can hear this right out of the gate if you're looking with me. Right from verse 1, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. So there's, just one very, very common do that we encounter in Proverbs a lot. Basically saying, listen, please, pay attention, listen with intent, be attentive. Why, we ask, verse 2, for I give you good precepts. And then we get a do not forsake my teaching. Coming down to verses 5 and 6, we get more of the same. Get wisdom, get insight, do that. These are things you should do. Followed by, do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and if you follow these directives that I'm giving you, she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Okay? And so again, lots of directives, so many repeated directives that you might begin to think that this is what it's all about, that this is the way in, that the acquisition of wisdom is simply about us doing the right things and not doing the wrong things. Ready, set, go. You know, follow this prescription. Follow these directions, and surely you will be wise. But hopefully, since we've gotten started here, we've got 4 weeks behind us at this point, hopefully you've been hearing that it is not that simple. It's not that formulaic. It's not that two-dimensional. And here's why. At the heart of all that's here, behind all that we find here, are hearts. Okay? And if you read between the lines, this really comes through in chapter 4, all the way through it, that wisdom is first and foremost a matter of the heart. All true wisdom travels upon the highway of the heart. It flows from heart to heart. Please notice something with me that comes through in these first five verses here, beginning in verse 1 again. I'm going to reread this. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. And then the father, who's speaking to his son, then goes on to say, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. And then comes the directives that follow from there. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. But what's happening here? I hope that you're seeing this. What's happening? Here's what's happening. There is a big and long conversation that is happening here. We have three generations that are represented here, that are involved. And I'm just going to say that this was one of the reasons that I felt really inclined to invite the Herders to come up in to read for us this morning. I wanted to honor them in that way, as to that in my own mind and in my own life have demonstrated aged wisdom. What a gift. This is an incredible gift that God gives us as a pathway to wisdom. It's a heart-to-heart thing. It's one heart being passed down to another heart, being passed down to another heart, generation to generation to generation in many cases. It's a family affair, is what we see here. This should not surprise us too much. After all, we've been hearing the Father from the beginning of chapter 1, verse 1, appealing to the Son. However, this cross-generational statement really has a way of highlighting something for us. It highlights that wisdom is something that is passed along from heart to heart and from heart to heart. Let your heart hold fast my words. There's more, though. Listen to some of the mature, gray-haired wisdom that is being passed down here, if I can put it that way, as it pertains to the heart. Look further down toward the end at verse 23. This is a key verse for us this morning. Super important verse to return to again and again. Verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. What a statement this is. This morning, we want to slow down and consider the role of the heart in the acquisition and the application of wisdom. How does the heart factor in here into all of this? How does it work? So here are three things for us to notice together. Hopefully these will help us to begin to answer these kinds of questions. First off, we get an appeal to the heart. And here, one of the most critical things is that we want to understand what is meant by the use of this word heart. When the writer of this chapter is using this word, what do they have in mind? Okay. Second thing to notice and consider is a warning for the heart. The Father provides the Son with a warning, not a threat, but with a loving fatherly warning. And then last thing, the development of the heart. How do we develop hearts of wisdom? So one more time on those in case you're writing these things down. An appeal to the heart, a warning for the heart, and then lastly, the development of the heart. So to begin with, an appeal. Listen one more time to the appeal itself. Let's just get this at the forefront of our minds. Verse 4, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Here's some more, verse 20 through 23. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And so in these appeals, we're told to mindfully keep our hearts. We're told how to do that. We're told why to do it. We're told what to keep in our hearts. So here's a critical question. What does the author have in mind now when they speak of the heart? If we're going to do these things, it would be good for us to understand what the author has in mind. What about you? What about me? Like when we hear this, when we hear this language, heart language, what is it that comes to our minds? There's a lot of phrases that come to mind for me, like lots of proverbial little phrases that we all know. And I guarantee that you guys know all of these. I'm just going to throw a few of them out there. And I think that it does give us a little bit of a cultural flavor, or like a modern Western sense of what we hear when we hear this word heart. She's got a heart of gold. At least he has his heart in the right place. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Hey, let's you and I have a heart to heart. I didn't have the heart to tell you, but he tends to wear his heart on his sleeve. I've had a change of heart. He's heartless. He has a heart of stone. Hey, have a heart. She's got a big heart. She's all heart, right? He's got a bleeding heart. You're breaking my heart. I could go on and on, right? I mean, just like these are endless. I mean, there's more. You realize this. I didn't need, like, uncharacteristic of me, I didn't even go into, like, the a million in one songs that I could refer to that would only stand to, like, reinforce the point that I'm trying to make here. Now, there are some nuances in those little phrases that I just use, but at the heart of these statements, I think you hear it, is this predominantly emotional sentiment. You know, this is how we in the modern Western world tend to use heart talk. When we hear it, that's kind of what we hear as a way of expressing our emotional lives. And rightly so. I mean, this is, I'm not downing that. In fact, I would say that this is not new. This is an ancient practice. It's been around, you know, for going back to this time. It should be read into the things that we're hearing here. However, I would just say that it's important for us to realize that if that's our only way of seeing these things and hearing these things, that our perspective is limited. Because in this time and in this place, when this writer is using the word heart, they have so much more than just our emotional lives in mind and in view. Those reading this at this time, they would have heard what? They would have heard what? The whole inner life of the person. That's what was in view. The whole inner life. The emotional life, the passion of the person, as well as the mind of that person. That individual's intellect, their will, the guts, the brains, it would have included all of these things. It would have been a reference to the very spirit of the person. It would have been a reference to the very soul of the person, all of it. And when you combine all of those things, what you're really talking about is the actual drive and the force of the life. This is what is in reference when we read the word heart here. Or to steal some imagery from verse 23, you could think of the strong current of our lives that is flowing out from within, affecting our decision-making. Keep your heart, we're told, with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The things that we prioritize, the goals that we set for ourselves, the expectations that we hold to, the hopes that we hold to, the aspirations that we hold to, the dreams that we would like to play out in our lives, they form here in the heart. All of these things flow from the current of our inner lives, and the Father is telling the Son, in light of this reality, be careful, Son. Be careful. Be careful of what you put in that heart of yours. Be mindful of the story that you're telling that heart of yours. Know your heart. Get familiar with your heart. Know the current of your heart. And we've talked about this multi-generational heart-to-heart appeal, but let's keep before us the overarching appeal that's here. This father-to-son conversation that's happening is, we've talked about this in weeks past, this is always a reflection of our Heavenly Father's heart towards us, right? The heart of God streaming out in an appeal to our hearts, heart to heart. This leads us into our second point now, a warning for the heart. The metaphors that we get in this passage are very telling. They're very helpful, I think, and interesting. Generally speaking, we get two of them. I've already highlighted one of them that comes out of verse 23, and it's streams, all right? Waterways that are flowing in and out of our inner lives. And you could think of this as perhaps, I wish that I could like come up with something better than this, but like the command center, you know, like the core operating system of who we are is happening internally. And the way that it's being described for us is like these streams that are coming in, streams that are going back out. And so those streams, what do? Well, they tend to, like an operating system, like a command center, they tend to dictate what happens after that, what happens outside, what happens externally in the moment-by-moment realities of our lives. And this is where the other metaphor comes in. The other image that gets a lot of ink in this passage is pathways, footpaths. You first see this in verse 11, I want to say. It comes up again in verse 14. I'm going to highlight verses 18 and 19 for you. It reads like this, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way, or you could say the pathway, of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." This comes up. I mean, we've already seen it. It's going to come up more and more as we go through this book. It shows up all over the Bible. This imagery, this metaphor of pathways to describe our lives comes up all the time. What does it represent? It represents, I think, and others have pointed this out, opportunities and choices that we make, what we choose to listen to, what we choose to look at, where we choose to go. If you actually scan through verses 20 through 27, that last paragraph there, you're going to see a lot of these things come out. Verses 23 through 27. Again, the Father makes reference to our ears. You see that? He uses this, you know, he uses synonyms as well. It comes over and over again. He makes reference to our ears. What we're listening to, what we're listening for, what we're taking in through our ears and pondering in our hearts. He makes reference to our eyes, what we're looking for, what we're looking at, how we're looking at those things, how we're valuing those things. Like, what are we setting our gaze upon, right? He makes reference to our feet, where we allow them to take us. And you'll notice in verse 26 there that our feet are then paired with pondering. You see the connection? Like what's happening internally, working its way outside. In other words, are we thoughtful? Are we mindful? Are we considerate? Are we circumspect about where our feet are taking us? But please notice that paired with all of these things, again, is our hearts. All of these things, all of these sensory experiences, all of these opportunities, all of these choices that we're making, all of them are, in a sense, flowing from the current of our hearts. And this is why the Father again says, "Hey, son, please hear me. I've been around the block a couple times. And my father before me was too. And he shared these things with me when I was young. Be vigilant. Take care. Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. And so that's a big question for us this morning. What is the current of our hearts? We have to ask. These are tough questions. Where is it flowing? Where are our hearts leading us? What we've been learning so far in the book of Proverbs is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how I've been describing this is to think of this in terms of value. There's so much value language in Proverbs. Seek it as gold, silver. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in the sense that do we recognize His infinite worth and treasure Him above all else in response to this knowledge of Him? Or you could put it like this. Is He the deepest and the widest and the strongest flowing stream within our hearts? Or is He just playing second fiddle? Or worse yet, is He playing third fiddle in our lives? Are there other things, other streams, other currents, springs in our hearts that are much deeper and wider and stronger? I think it's fair to read the passage this way for us to understand that anything that we might elevate above Him in our hearts and anything that we might pursue apart from Him on the footpaths, practically speaking, of our lives, will inevitably make a fool out of us. This is the warning from the Father. This is what He's trying to save His Son from having to experience. Son, make sure that the Lord is the deep, wide spring of your heart. And again, the Father, He's lovingly doing this. He's lovingly warning His Son against that. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father, through this word, is lovingly warning us, saying, hey, your hearts can get steered in the wrong direction. Be mindful. It's worth pointing out that there is a dynamic relationship between these things, between the streams of our hearts and the paths of our feet. They inevitably influence and reinforce one another. For instance, I'm just going to give an example, if the major internal current of our lives, the deepest, the widest stream of our lives, is finances, let's say. By the way, we're going to be hearing from Chris Audino next week, and he's going to be talking about money. So just be ready for that. If you guys aren't there, I'll know why. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. But let's say it's finances, okay? Well, that will dictate much of what happens on the footpath of my life, if it's finances. What I choose to pursue, you know, what I'm listening to, what I'm looking at, what I'm valuing, how I prioritize my time will in somehow, some way, align with that stream, right? You see this. It will dictate my hopes. It'll dictate my aspirations, my goals, my expectations. And here's the kicker. It will, in some cases, dictate my reactions, my responses, when that stream is not flowing in the way that I want it to flow, right? If that stream begins to dry up in my life somehow, how do I respond to that? That's going to tell me. That's a good indicator of like what really is streaming out of my heart here. Am I having like a volcanic eruptive sort of response of anger because things are not going the way that I would like them to? Am I just collapsing in despair over these things? How am I responding? I had a little volcanic eruption earlier this week. I'm still processing it. And I need to. And so do you. When you have these kinds of reactions in your life, pay attention to them. Don't just be like, keep moving, one foot in front of the other. Pay attention. Like these things can tell us, they can give us information about the condition of our hearts. And what should we do? We should take these things to Him. God, may your heart stream in to my heart. Let my heart stream out to yours. I don't know what's happening here. Things are getting dammed up. and my heart. Help. Again, this will tell us a lot. Some questions, some further questions to ask. What kindles your affections? What tends to dominate your thinking? If you've got some idle time, if you're on a lunch break, if you've got a few minutes to spare in the parking lot while you're waiting for somebody to show up, where does your mind go on automatic? This should tell you something about these things. If we want to develop hearts of wisdom, we have to ponder these sorts of things. We have to ask these difficult sorts of questions. This leads us into our last point now, the development of the heart, the development of the heart. As I was thinking about this, it got me thinking about this development component. It got me thinking about the basin up north in the Franconia Notch. Anybody been there before? If you've been to the basin, raise your hand. If you've not been to the basin, you should go. It's really pretty. It's pretty wonderful. It's one of my favorite places. I love the basin itself. I also there's this like rock face hike that is on like the backside of where the basin is. Love it. Highly recommend it. I was looking into this a little bit. So the basin. I mean, how long has it been there? I don't think we know. I mean, some people throw out some astronomically long figures of time, but I think that thousands of years is enough to suffice for us to think about this, okay? The basin itself, there's nothing like it to be found anyplace else. If you know Henry David Thoreau, he'd written somewhere, he'd visited there in the early to mid-1800s, and he was just like, this is incredible. This is fantastic. There's nothing like it to be found in New England. And what I read is that it's 30 feet in diameter, it's 15 feet deep, and it's this incredible like bowl, like a bath. I found a quote here. Let me see if I can pull this up. Where'd you go? Of course, it's missing. Where'd it go? There it is. Thank you. Found this quote. That apparently, there's a gentleman from Concord by the name of Samuel Eastman. He wrote a White Mountain Guide in 1858. In reference to the basin, he wrote this, that it's one of the beautiful haunts of nature, a luxurious and delicious bath fit for the ablutions of a goddess. Is that how you say it? Ablutions? It's like a way of washing up. So, I mean, it's wonderful. I'm being long-winded about it, but it's really something to behold. So here's the question. How did it get there? How did it get to be that way? How did this great wonder of nature happen? Here's how it happened. It happened slowly. It happened over time, right? It happened with this force of a river with sand and gravel just hitting it constantly, persistently, again and again and again for hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries until it smoothed out this wonderful, natural creation. How do we develop hearts of wisdom? And we do it the way that we do most things, bit by bit. It's got to be more than just some kind of big lofty declaration of like, yes, God, I want your heart to flow into mine and I want my heart to flow into yours. And then we just kind of lay down and we just give up on the whole thing. It has to be a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week kind of a situation. And I don't know about you, but for myself, this tends to get kind of messy. I mean, you know, it's rarely a clean-cut sort of a thing. You know, if I have this kind of acute situation in which I have a volcanic moment in which there's this competing stream in my heart and I'm made aware of it in a way that's very uncomfortable for me, by God's grace, perhaps I let my heart stream out to God. I plead for. I welcome God's heart streaming into mine. But if you're anything like me, a moment later, it reminds me of, I've been catching up on the Lord of the Rings trilogy recently. I'm reminded of Sméagol and Gollum. You know, these moments where he's kind of like back and forth, like two personalities. You know, he's like having a conversation with himself. On one side, he's just like, Master loves us. He would never hurt us. No. He wants to kill us. You know, and just like this really, you know, back and forth thing. I mean, often that's the way that I find myself, where it's just like I recognize this stream in my life and I'm like, oh, bad. Lord, help me. Let your heart stream towards me. And then 5 minutes later, I'm right back at it. And then it's just like, what are you doing? Get back here. Just, you know, like having to grab myself by the neck and pull myself back. And this is what we need to do. We need to keep at it. And over time, if we continually seek to cooperate with him and hear his voice saying, let your heart stream to mine, Doug. Allow my heart to stream into yours, Doug. Come back again. I know you went off the path. I know you've been paddling in the wrong river. Come back. Come back. My grace allows for you to come back again, to get your paddle out again. Just a little story on this. Speaking of learning from others, learning from other generations. One week, us guys got together for dinner. And I had posed a question about this. I'd said, hey, is there anybody in your life that when you think of them, you think, that's a wise person. That individual was a great example to me. They have rubbed off on me. And I mentioned the gentleman who I think of as my spiritual father, Ted Gents. We affectionately called him Thads. And you guys have heard this story from me, many of you, many times before. But I just want to share it again because it's so powerful. It's been so powerful in my life. He very graciously, patiently, and it required patience, patiently led me to Christ. And shortly after I came to faith, he was diagnosed with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease. And for the next 5 years, I watched that poor man slowly disappear. He began to lose everything. He began to lose everything. He began to lose his ability to walk. He lost his ability to drive. He lost his ability to hug. He lost his ability to feed himself. He lost his ability to swallow. He lost his ability to speak. He lost his ability to care for himself. He inevitably became completely and totally dependent upon others until he died. And what I always say is, as he physically began to disappear, I began to just see the spirit within him just rise. How did that happen? Because here's the thing. He could have balled up both of his fists and just cursed God. Right? He could have said, how dare you? You're taking everything from me. My independence is important to me. How could you do this to me? But he didn't. I'm sure he had his moments. I'm sure he had his Sméagol Gollum moments in private. But what I saw was a man who smoothly navigated this. And here's how I think it happened. Faithfully, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, letting his heart stream out to God, pleading with, welcoming God's heart, streaming into his. It made him a man who could endure that. And with grace. And that's where I want to end off this morning. I want to end off on grace. How can we do this? How can we develop hearts of wisdom? We cannot do it apart from the grace of God in our lives, because we inevitably will steer to the left and steer to the right at moments. So what do we do when that happens? Do we just throw up our arms and say, I give up? No. Like, we need to keep returning to God's grace. realizing that his grace is the thing that will keep coming, like that gravel and that sand hitting the stone and just wearing it down over time and making something beautiful, something wonderful. That's what God's grace is trying to do in our lives, and we should cooperate with that. We should respond to it. We should not take advantage of it. And yet when we need it, we absolutely should take advantage of it. We should receive it and say, God, let your heart stream in again. God, let my heart stream out to you again. This is how we develop hearts of wisdom. Let me pray about this for all of us. Father, as you know, for many of us, there are a few things that are as difficult as being consistent, is being perseverant, steady, having fortitude, coming back again and again, just having that reflex of returning to you again and again and again. And so, God, would you, in your loving, fatherly way, would you shepherd us? Would you shepherd our hearts? Would you redirect us? When we wander off, would you continue to come looking for us and to bring us back, to keep us on the path? God, would you increasingly become the strongest current of our hearts? Would it grow deeper? Would it grow wider? Would its force be greater? Would it have more influence in our lives? Would it have more impact on us and others extending out? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.